This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Matthew Carr was literally fighting fit when he was unexpectedly diagnosed with testicular cancer at just 26 years old. A professional soldier, Matthew decided to utilize his army experience to battle cancer. His book, Battle Scars, outlines the strategy he used, and it's not just relevant to fighting cancer, but it could be applied to many other challenging situations. Matthew, welcome to the program.
Good morning. How are you?
Not too bad. Now, when did you first become suspicious that something was wrong?
It was in 2002, and I'd just been posted down to Wagga Wagga to train recruits in the army. And probably for a couple of months leading up to that point, I was getting an increasingly worse pain in my hip and my lower back area that I couldn't quite put my finger on. And I'd been to the doctor, and he'd suggested that I'd just hurt my back doing weight training. So I'd been going to a physio and trying to fix myself up, but the pain was getting worse and worse. And eventually we went to a different doctor, and she found out that I was actually stage 3, which is an advanced stage of testicular cancer, and that it had moved through my lymph nodes and were tumours were popping up all over the place.
So is that that's a typical symptom to have, you know, back and hip pain?
It is for this disease. A lot of people find that, they also, if they're lucky, or if they're lucky in an unlucky sense, they'll find a lump on around their testicle, which is an indicator that the disease is growing. But my tumour on the testicle is actually in the testicle itself. So there was no lump to be found. The testicle was just always a bit painful and sore. I thought it was just twisted or something. But yeah, the tumour in my belly, which had grown to about the size of a 3-kilo tumour, that was the one that was causing the pain that really identified it.
So it had moved there, had it? It's like a next step.
Yeah, once this cancer develops more and turns malignant, it actually spreads through the lymphatic system, and lymphatic nodes can turn cancerous themselves and turn into tumours, and that's what was happening. It was quite advanced.
So what was your initial response when you found out that you had cancer?
Well, the first words that came to mind I can't repeat on radio. I was stunned.
It was very out of the blue, I take it.
It was.
Yeah.
I was primed and prepped for war. We'd been training up and to possibly go over to Timor at that time. And I was a soldier. I was one of those alpha male blokes that was into rugby and boxing and anything that can hurt things. And I really wasn't prepared to get that news when I was sitting in front of the doctor that day. And I didn't know what to do. You know, there was nothing I could lash out at, nothing I could hurl abuse at or do. I could only just stand in front of this pretty little female doctor and stare blankly at her.
And what kind of prognosis were you given in those early days?
We originally thought that the chemotherapy should be able to hit this cancer pretty well. It's quite receptive to chemotherapy, testicular cancer, and we had a rough estimate that it would be about a 6-month treatment and I should be right to get back into the army and do what I was doing. But that was 9 years ago. We're still going.
Really? And so it was. You were never fearful for your life?
Oh, no. There was many a times that I was quite scared of what was going to happen. But fear's a funny thing. It's the less you know about something, the more scared you are of it. So I found myself identifying what this enemy was and starting to strategize, which made things a bit better. And at the end of the day, trying to be courageous isn't about not being scared. It's about doing what you need to do even though you're scared. So there are a couple of the ways that I tried to deal with that.
So tell us about how you started using your army training to deal with cancer. At what point did that sort of click into place for you?
It happened automatically. It happened straight away. As I said, I'd been trained already and was quite keen to get into Timor at the time. So my mindset was pretty well drilled. Physically, I was very fit, and mentally, I was prepared for a fight. I just wasn't prepared to deal with a fight inside my body. Mm. So there was a lot of basic principles that the military had taught me, which were already taking effect, and that's things like forward momentum and sustainment, maintaining the morale, some really basic warfighting principles that we live by were already being adopted. But the whole strategy I came up with in the book didn't develop until I deployed some years later to Afghanistan and Iraq and found out that the counterinsurgency fight that we're fighting over there is very similar to the way that we fight cancer, or we could fight cancer.
Well, just share with us the four main principles of your approach that were based on this counterinsurgency training.
Sure. So the four basic principles in this strategy is, number one is to identify the enemy and understand who you're fighting and what it's trying to do to you. And in addition to that, it's about identifying who you are and what your strengths and weaknesses are, so you can fight and maximise your strength, you know, and also work on your weaknesses. And number two is to isolate that enemy. It sounds a bit strange, but when there's a disease growing in you, whether it's cancer or maybe if it's depression in your mind, you've got to try to separate that from the rest of what's going on in your life and see it as an enemy. It's no use having it all mixed up together, because you just don't know where to hide, you don't know where to relax, and you don't know where to fight. So it's about isolating that enemy from yourself. And the third point is the fun bit. That's neutralising and fighting it. So anything that you can do that can hurt that enemy and put it on its back feet or back on the ropes is worth giving a go, and be that conventional treatment like chemo and radiotherapy, or going into alternate therapies like acupuncture. Anything that makes you feel good and better has got to be making it feel bad. Then finally, the fourth strategy is negotiation. And that's about coming to peace with yourself and your body once all that damage has been done, because your body's been put under a lot of stress. There's been surgeries, there's been chemotherapy, it's weak, and it's pretty scared of what's just happened, mentally and physically. So you've got to give yourself time to heal and work out who you are after all. You know, all the scars have cleared up and the smoke's out.
So is this just a psychological approach, or is it practical? Like, how do you practically separate out your cancer and isolate it, and how do you practically negotiate with cancer?
Well, it's more about negotiation is about yourself. The cancer is, that's the enemy, and it's out to get you. There's no doubt about fighting cancer or fighting any challenge can be a fight for your life. So you need to understand that, but you also need to understand that it's not your body that's at fault. Your body's trying its hardest to fight this disease or this challenge. So it's about isolating those two things and knowing that your body needs to rest and recuperate. You need to be able to relax and find a passion like surfing or painting or whatever you need to relax and get off the front line. Mm. And then when you walk into hospital again, or when you go into the doctors, you're in fight mode, and you're using the doctors and those treatments to help you fight that disease.
So, very interesting, yeah.
Yeah, it is psychological. You've got to use your imagination a bit, but it's also very practical. And you can almost apply any technique. If you're into fitness and you feel like fitness is a way of making you feel better, then that's a way of neutralising the enemy. You're keeping yourself feeling fit and active, and that's maintaining morale, and that's being positive. And anything that makes you feel good has got to be making your enemy feel bad.
Interesting approach. I'm talking with Matthew Carr. His book, Battle Scars, talks about, I guess, his fight against cancer. Matthew, did you share any of these tactics with the medical personnel that were treating you?
No, not really. What I found out was the medics and the doctors used a very similar four strategies when they fight cancer. And that's linked in as being investigating, diagnosis, treatment, and palliative care or follow-up. So that's quite well-known in the medicine world to fight cancer, and it wasn't until I came to the realisation that that's the principles we use with counterinsurgency, that these two are quite similar. Mm. From there, I started to realise just what I'd been doing, and I started to put that together within a story frame, but it wasn't until the cancer came back in 2009, and I had a pretty big operation which almost knocked me off my perch. And during my recovery on the couch, I started putting, you know, all these thoughts down in the computer and putting the book together. So, no, I hadn't really talked to the doctors about this. We were just all busy, you know, fighting the fight, basically.
Mm. Do you think that your approach would work for everyone, or is this particularly something that would be useful for guys?
It was originally intended for guys. I thought, if there's one thing I seem to have maintained during this whole challenge, is my ability to talk. And so traditionally guys don't talk about their illnesses. You know, we're pretty shocking at that. We ignore signs and we just We like to put any problems in our body away in a little black box. And I thought, well, maybe talking like this and relating to this as something we could fight would sound true in the minds of blokes. But
it kind of gives you a paradigm you can use to talk about it, I guess.
That's true.
That's not embarrassing. It's not emotional. Yeah.
A paradigm's a good word. It's not something a soldier would use too easily because it's a big word, but that's exactly what it's like. But I found that a lot of females that started reading the book were able to apply it too, and it's not for soldiers per se. It's just for people that need to look at a challenge that they're having with a fighting attitude. And if, you know, I didn't quite feel like I wanted to just be reactive to this. I needed to be proactive, and it worked for me.
In a military operation, I imagine, there's not a lot of room for emotion. Soldiers have to put their feelings aside and just get on with the job, even if that means killing someone or allowing someone to die. Did you allow yourself, you mentioned fear before, but did you allow yourself to experience those negative emotions as you were going through this process, like sadness or fear, those kinds of things?
When I first was diagnosed, I tried to shut every emotion down. And it worked for a while, but when you shut your emotions away, it doesn't actually send them off anywhere. They stick around. They just hang around there like a little pressure cooker. Mm. And sooner or later, something's going to happen when they all pop out. And when they do pop out, they come out pretty hard. So I went through that pretty heavy learning lesson of that strategy doesn't work. And I learnt that I should deal with my emotions as they come up. So as fear comes up or anger or frustration, it's good to see that as it happens, and then let it occur. You know, it's no use feeling really angry and saying, well, I shouldn't feel angry, I shouldn't feel scared. But you can put it in perspective and go, well, it's fair enough, I'm going through a fair bit of stuff at the moment. I'm just going to play this out and tomorrow will be a better day.
Mm. You mentioned you had another operation in 2009. Yeah. Where are you up to now, Matt? Are you still struggling with this?
Well, I'm back at work now. The Army's taken me back, which is really good. We have to manage my situation pretty carefully. I've got a really great selection of doctors and support that we continually do scans and updates. There's a fair few complications that arose after that operation, but I'd prefer to look at it the other way and see that there's a hell of a lot of things I can still do that potentially I couldn't have. So I'm still able to walk, and as much as I say that I can surf, I'm allowed to do that as well. So it's all about managing what you've got left, and rather than getting stuck in the trenches about what cancer's taken away from me, I'd prefer to see what it's given me. And it's given me a pretty good perspective on life, which is one of the best things.
Mm. All right. Well, thanks so much for sharing some of your experiences and that perspective that you've gotten over many years of fighting this disease.
Yeah, no, thanks. I'm quite enjoying, you know, getting out there and starting to talk about this and generating a bit of interest on it. And it seems to be getting quite well received. We've got a website that we're trying to generate a little bit more discussion on, if you don't mind me plugging it.
Absolutely.
If people are interested, they can look at www.battlescars.com.au. They can order the book online, which I'll be able to sign for them. And it's also a chance for me to give out some more strategies, but also get some strategies from other people if they've got some ideas on how we can start fighting some of this stuff.
Yeah, great. Well, thanks for sharing, Matthew. That's Matthew Carr. He's the author of Battle Scars, a book about how he used his military training to fight cancer. And that website is battlescars.com.au. Thanks, Matt.
Thanks very much. Have a great day.
This has been a Hope 103.2 podcast. For helpful articles, station news, videos, devotional emails, and more podcasts, visit hope1032.com.au.